Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway of the Supernatural. I'm Pastor Peter Dosak, and this is my co-host, Rob Kennedy. And I will say, if any of you that are watching, viewing us, or you have a church or whatever, you know, Rob goes out and he preaches, and he teaches on multiple things. He's a great theological guy, and he has a sound word, he has a great word, but you know, anything from, even in our church, he teaches soul winning classes, but he also teaches on Wednesday nights, teach on Sunday morning, and so I would encourage you that if you're interested in him, or even Pastor Kylan, that you know what, you just send us a note, drop us a note, we'll put you in contact with them, and then they'll take it from there. But he'd be a great blessing to your church. And if you want to have a soul-winning church, have soul-winning people.
Amen.
And
that's right.
So, you know, we have purpose to have a soul-winning church, not just an assembly of believers. We want to reproduce sheep.
That's right. Amen.
Now, before we go into my favorite gift, that maybe you read the verses and you know which one it is, we're going to go in and we're going to see two miracles that took place in Chicago. And at Rob Thompson's church. So let's watch and see what God does. You have the shoulder keeps dislocated? Which one is it? That one? Is it in pain right now?
I can't lift my arms halfway.
You can't
go like
that. Only that way?
I can't go back, right?
Okay. All right. You ready?
Yep, I am.
All right, good. You look ready.
I have neuropathy on my feet. I have pain in my feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do overhauls. The words of knowledge are just a connection of faith. Okay? All right. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command all of this tingling, this apathy in her feet right now. I command it in the name of Jesus. Come out right now in the name of Jesus. I command you right now. You tormenting spirit, come out right now. I loose a miracle, God, of circulation through her legs right now. All this tinglingness, go. In the name of Jesus. Now, I curse every work of the enemy on this elbow, on this shoulder right now, this joint. I command all of the pain, come out of her right now. Let her go in the name of Jesus. And I loose the working of miracles. Oh God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Lift that arm up. Tell me what you got. Come on. Okay. That's all right. Come on. How's your feet? Okay. You're concentrating on your arm. Go ahead. Come on. Do it once for the Father. Here, bend it right here too. Come on, take it straight up. That's it. All right, we'll take it. Has it got pain right in here? Okay, in the name of Jesus. Come on, folks, stretch forth your hand here. Come on, join me in your faith. In the name of Jesus, you devil, I command you right now, loose her and let her go. In Jesus' name, come out of there. And Father, we loose the working of miracles right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All right, bend it up. Tell me what you got. You couldn't lift. Well, what do you think?
It's awesome.
And this knee here?
Yeah.
Come on, saints, stretch forth your hand. How long ago was it?
It was earlier this morning.
In the name of Jesus, I speak to this kneecap right now. I command every bit of damage right now to this kneecap. I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of that thing right now. Let her go in the name of Jesus. I command all swelling, all pain, God, right now to go in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. For your glory, I loose the working of miracles. I loose the working of miracles in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift it up. Tell me what you got. Come on. All right. Come on, tell me what you got. All right, good. Now we're going to get, you have any more pain?
Yeah, a little.
All right, we're going to get rid of all the pain. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
What's your name?
Anna.
All right, go ahead, bend it up, Anna. Now, is that where
Hallelujah,
the pain is?
Hallelujah, Father.
In the name, come on, folks. Come on, not observation. This participation. In the name of Jesus, I command right now. In the name of Jesus, all this pain, come out right now. In the name of Jesus, all of the way right now. All of the way in the name of Jesus. 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 All right, Anna, come on, let's go. Tell me what you got.
It's a lot better.
Oh, good. Good.
It's a lot better.
All right. Come on, Anna. Bend it up here. Don't shuffle around. I want you to bend it. There you go. There you go. All right. Tell me what you got, Anna.
It
Huh? Still sore, but it feels better.
Let's not worry about the soreness.
Okay.
But no pain?
No pain.
Okay, no pain.
No pain.
No pain. All right, now I notice him helping you and bring you in here. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't do this when you came in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wow.
No, God is good.
Yeah. Well, there you go. God is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so miracles are happening everywhere. And you see that sometimes you just got to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Just got to keep pressing it. And, you know, the Bible says Jesus cast out the devil, deaf and dumb devil of the boy. And the spirit came out that same hour.
Yeah,
he was down on the ground and they thought, oh, my word, he's dead. And he was down on the ground and says in the same hour, that spirit left him. So don't ever be moved by just praying once or praying twice.
Yeah.
You say, well, which is faith? Well, I don't know. Whichever one gets them healed, I'd say that's the faith one.
Yeah.
And you mean you prayed once in unbelief? I don't know what I prayed in, but I'm just telling you the second one got it. Yeah. And so if the devil just says, oh, he ain't going to give up and leaves, or if God says, look, he's relentless, give it to him, or whatever it is, I'm just happy that the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear. That's what I'm happy about.
Yeah.
So, and Jesus is being glorified. So I may not fit your cup of tea, and you may not fit everybody else's cup of tea, but you pray, and, you know, Paul said we pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we pray different ways. Prayer is an asking and a receiving, but then so is praise is a part of our praise.
Absolutely.
Confession is a part of prayer.
Yeah.
And all of those things are in that word prayer. So, you know, when you're praising God for something, you're reminding him, hey, God, I've asked you for this. I know that you've done it. So for somebody to say, well, I only prayed about that once, I would say, well, you prayed about it every time you lifted your hands up.
Yeah.
Prayed about it every time that you said, God, I thank you that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you, God. I received my car.
Yeah.
I thank you, God. I received a raise, whatever it is. Those are prayers.
Absolutely.
Putting God into remembrance. And but Rob, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians to 12th chapter, verse 7 down through 11.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. So, my favorite, I love this gift, and I love to operate in it, and it is defined or described here as the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
And I love it because it enables us to navigate through life. It enables us to understand what the enemy is doing, where the enemy is, and it enables us to begin to know man and to discern him. The word discern means to distinguish from something else.
Yeah.
It means to be able to judge. It means to separate thoroughly. It means to make something distinct. It means to try. It means to show a judgment. Now, that judgment comes from God.
Yeah.
When we see or operate in discerning of spirits, God is giving us a judgment. This is man.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah.
So God's giving us a judgment. And it means that when we see that judgment, we withdraw from. In this, it is the ground where discoveries are made.
That's good.
It means to perceive. In this discerning of spirits, the discovery of who is doing what and what spirit is involved.
Yeah.
And there are different classes of spirit. There is angels are spirits, and you need to be able to discern evil and good.
Yeah.
Because the devil will come, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, like an angel of light.
Yeah.
He comes to you.
Yeah.
Right. And we can see that gift in operation in the temptation of Christ.
Yeah,
when Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. Because it could have been the Holy Ghost brings things back to your remembrance. Well, the devil is quoting scripture to Jesus.
Yeah.
But Jesus discerns this is not God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he's able to deal with the devil, resist the devil, stay free from his ensnarements.
Yeah.
And then we do have the discerning of fallen angels. We can discern demons, and we can discern angels of a heavenly nature.
Yeah.
And then we can also discern the spirit of man.
Yeah, personalities.
Personalities, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we can discern Satan, of course, and we can discern the spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about all of those things in this. And we're going to look at some scriptures that are going to help us with it.
Yeah.
So when we have discerning of spirits, we're able to recognize what group of spirits these are operating
in. Works. Yeah.
And it's just like recognizing somebody's anointing to lay hands on them.
Yeah.
You know, you have to recognize that gift.
Yeah. To see and discern it.
Yes, you have to see it and judge, say, you know what? I perceive this.
Yeah.
You know, the woman told her husband, I perceive that this is a man of God. She discerned that this is a man of God. He's not like everybody else that comes through.
Exactly.
He's not a traveler. He's not a salesman. He's not a merchant. This is a prophet of God.
Yeah, that's good.
And so she was able to join herself with them. And so we have to know the spirits of people. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29, and we're going to go from verse 4 down through 7. And this is really going to be just an intriguing gift. It is. I love this gift. Hallelujah. I've seen angels. I've seen demons. And I know some people say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, that's why they make on and off switches.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm just telling you that I have seen.
Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy 29, 4 through 7.
All right.
29, 4 through 7. And this gift is so unique that it really, the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all. In other words, it's not just for ministry. It's for our life.
Yeah.
And so we need to use these gifts in our life, in our family life, in our children's lives, our spouse's life, our neighbors, our friends' lives. So we're going to go from Deuteronomy 29, from 4 through 7, Rob.
Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us into battle, and we smote them.
Here it reveals to us, it says, God hath not given you a spirit, a heart, that your eyes, your ears, your thoughts could discern or perceive. It means understand or to divide, the word perceive. So what Moses says to us is that the discerning of spirits enables us to understand what is going on and who is causing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it affects our ears, our eyes, our thoughts. And let me kind of throw this in early. The discerning of spirits is the ability to be aware of, to sense, to have our senses touched, to have our eyes opened, our ears open, and our understanding opened.
Yeah.
And so it's like God is everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's here right now. He's in your house.
Yeah,
you might say, well, I don't know about that. Yeah, God's in your house because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know if that happens when he comes to the bathroom door. He might just say, as far as we go. And so I know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. So how is it that we can be worshiping God, or we can be in a church and we got all these people around us, we're feeling nothing, and all of a sudden everybody at once or you know just begins to, oh, man, God's here.
Yeah.
Your hair's on your arm. Exactly. People say, oh, man, look at the hair on my arm standing up.
Yeah.
And now what is that?
Yeah. Well, God's always there.
Yes, absolutely.
He opens up our perception to his presence. It's like, you know.
It is the gift.
It's the gift, yeah.
Of discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you just feel his presence in worship, it's not that God just showed up.
Yeah.
God's been there.
Yeah.
What he's doing is unveiling to you that I'm here.
Pulling back that curtain.
There, And you know, it's you know, I think of the gift of discerning of spirits, my thoughts, my ears, my eyes and things that I become aware of.
Yeah.
And I become aware of, I may see with my physical eye.
Yeah.
And you say, well, what do you mean see with your physical eye? Your spiritual eye. No, no, this is physical eye stuff.
Yeah.
And so, and that has to do with your understanding. You can hear with your natural ear because the discerning of spirits doesn't open up your human spirit.
Yeah.
It opens up your senses.
Yeah. And there's been so many times, I know as you can attest to this, but as you're preaching and praying for people and you're under that anointing, all this, your ability to perceive.
Yes.
It just opens up.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts come for, you know, revelation.
You're right.
Yeah, just it's just, it becomes easy.
Yes, and, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so
it's amazing.
This discerning of spirits does allow us to become aware of.
Yeah.
And it might not be that you feel it, but you become aware of. And so here, Moses gives us an insight that, look, God hasn't given us. In other words, God has never opened up these arenas to experience him and to see him. He says this, I've led you for 40 years. Your clothes haven't waxed old. You haven't eaten a bread. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drank wine or strong drink. But what he's saying is, you know what? Everything has been given you, has been supplied of God.
Oh, God.
And you don't even grasp it.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes God is in the natural things, but unless we see it, we never ever attribute it to God.
Yeah.
And I think that might be one of the cover points when Paul said, give thanks in all things.
Thanks. Yeah.
Because you never know, you know, if the gift is there, yes, you do. But if it's not, you may miss what God is doing for you.
I think of Job at the end of, you know, at the end of the letter. Job replies to God after everything he went through. He said, I had known you. I thought I heard of you at the hearing of the hearer, but now I know you because my eyes have seen you.
Yep. And, absolutely.
And that's that like the is answer the, to the whole
That
whole
is thing. The discerning of it all.
Yeah.
He started discerning. You know what? This was the enemy.
Yeah.
This was God with me.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He operated in discerning of spirits. Yeah, he understood that. And I've got some of those. Coming up here.
Right.
Let's go to Job, the 8th chapter. And since you threw Job in here in the mix, we'll just go to Job, the 8th chapter.
Might as well, huh? Yeah. Chapter 8.
Yes, and let's go start at verse 11. And
all right. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God.
Okay, and, wrong chapter. Okay. Go to chapter 9
all right,
and verse 11.
All right. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth and also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou?
So we see there that Job is aware that God has walked by him, but he could not perceive him. And so we have to understand that discerning of spirits is not just, oh, I'm just sensitive. No, that's not what this is about. This is an unveiling of spiritual worlds or spiritual groups of people, angels, man, God, Satan, and it's unveiled to our senses. It's not that our senses are deadened and our spirit overtakes our body. It means that God's walking by me. He's here, just like we talked. God's everywhere, but Job never perceived it. So could he respond to him? No. Could he be led astray? Yes. So it's important that we have this gift of discerning of spirits in our life. You know, I've even been in lines in stores before, and I would just, you know, discern God's leading. Don't go there. Get out of this aisle. I'm thinking, why? She's as ugly and mean looking as the others. He said, you don't go there. And then you end up and you discern that God's leading you over here. Then all of a sudden, this woman says one word, and you perceive, ah, she needs to hear about Jesus.
There it is,
And so we do need to do that because the discerning of spirits does lead us into certain areas.
Well, you know, another thing, pastors, so many people, they use discerning of spirit, you know, they use it as a cloak to cover their criticalness and their judgmentalness, right? And they think they have the gift of discerning of spirits, but really they have a critical spirit.
It's a,
I've seen that so often.
Gift of speculation, I think it is. And so we always want to understand that the gifts glorify Christ and unveil things to God and unveil God's nature. So the gift of discerning spirits unveils to us that God knows our spirit and God knows what's taking place in us.
Absolutely.
And so, and he knows what's working. Nothing is hid from his eyes with whom we are in covenant that we have to do with Hebrews 4:13 So God understands all of those things. And so we just have to know that God is aware of every human being. It's just amazing to me how much God knows about us.
That's right.
It's just amazing. Let's go to Job 23, 5 through 10, Rob. And this time it is the right.
23, 5 through 10. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would not put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah.
So God knows Job, but Job is missing God.
Yeah.
And he's looking and he's going, but without the discerning of spirits, men would never know if they ran into God.
Exactly.
And they may see the effects of it, but I want to see him while I'm having an effect.
Exactly.
And so then let's jump over to Joshua 22. 31. So we see that Job was looking for God, but the only way that we can experience or see or behold God is through the discerning of spirits. Because if we could just see God whenever we wanted, and doesn't mean that we can't look at the scripture and see God, we can. But if we want him unveiled, then we have to be able to operate in the discerning of spirits.
Did you say Joshua 31?
Yeah, Joshua 22.
All right. 22
and 31. Okay, go ahead and read that, Rob.
The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion or if it transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. That we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer their burnt offering or meat offering or if it be offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it.
So here, Joshua says that God's with him.
Yeah.
But we need to discern
what
what we are doing or what spirit is influencing us
yeah.
to build an altar.
Yeah, and what to put on it.
Right? Yes, and what to put on it. It yeah. is the discerning of even God's will. In a service, you may, when it goes to change or something happens or, you know, hey, God wants me to go this direction, you have to discern, was that God's voice?
Exactly.
Was that God's leading? Is that what God wants me to do?
Yeah.
Is it myself?
And sometimes it's clearer than others,
well,
too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because I think we have to understand there is always the element of faith that is connected to that.
Yeah.
So the discerning of spirits causes us that we have to, it enables us to judge things, judge what we're doing and so forth. And then let's go to 1 Samuel 12 and verse 15. And the reason that we're looking at these scriptures, because all of these scriptures help lay out a line about what the discerning of spirits is and where it operates. 1 Samuel 12, 15 through 19, Rob.
But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest day? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king.
Here, I want to bring in the discerning of the author of a season. Men that were not there with Samuel did not see him pray, but still 12 miles down the road have thunder and lightning and rain. Most people would say, oh man, we got a storm coming.
Yeah.
And they misconstrue. They do not see clearly. They don't know who authored the season or the change of season in their life. And we need to be able to discern, you know, whether things have been stirred by God, whether they have been birthed by God, and so that if something has been birthed in our life because we need to deal with an area in life, that we need to discern. Wow. Remember, Jesus said, how's come you can discern the seasons, the times, but you cannot discern who I am?
Exactly.
So it tells us that there are things that look very natural, but they have this spiritual thread in them. And the only way that we're going to see that thread, Rob, is through the discerning of spirits.
Absolutely.
And so when seasons come in our lives, they're certainly, you know, okay, they show up in life. You know, your refrigerator breaks and you unplug it. While you're unplugging it, to test it in another socket, you blow the fuse box, start a fire in your basement, and of course it comes up and burns your master bedroom, and your favorite dog is in there, and all your hunting clothes in there, and your favorite bow is in there, and it says, oh my word, what in the world? What? Well, was it the devil, or was it an attack? Was it the birthing of a tribulation or a vexing? Was it a persecution because you've been using your faith or active for God? Or was it natural?
Yeah.
You have to be able to discern these things. There have been times that Phyllis and I call them kind of like appliance meltdowns.
Yeah.
You know, like they all have, your warranty is up 8/14 and 8/15, it blows up.
Yeah.
And well, I'm thinking, they have got a... they've got a chip in here, and you know, and the guy goes in every morning and says, there you go, And, you know, bring out the new and out with the old. It seems that way for sure. And the only time your shoe wears out and gets a hole is when you're going to the prayer meeting. I'm telling you, man. It's, and so we have to discern these things. And sometimes things will go wrong in our house. We've had things this break, that break. And, you know, we just say, hey, you know what? This is not natural. This is not, this is demonic. And, you know, we understand we bought them at the same time. But for them to be blowing up all in the one day, that's, come on.
Yeah, there's a little,
and
a little
that's
more
right.
to that.
It's either your mother is here in this house, Phyllis, or this is the devil. And so, you know, so we have to discern those things. Now, if they're natural things, then I understand that. But if you kind of start dealing with natural things, everybody comes in and says, well, you need this, you need that. You need this, and you know, and then pretty soon you think, I don't need any of that. I didn't need it. Why did they do that? And because they're trying to find, you know, doctors practice medicine, mechanics practice that. Everybody else is at practicing. You're the one paying for their education. And so, but we have to be able to discern these things, whether they're natural or whether they're spiritual. And tribulation, persecutions, these the enemy stealing from us, attacking our things, and we understand that, you know what, if we don't stop him, if we don't understand it's him, if we just perceive, well, you know, everybody's going through this and stuff like that, then we're going to miss God.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, sickness that comes in. You know, well, our family's been sick for the last month. What other family you know has been sick for the last month? None. Well, it might be something other than normal. That what you would call normal. And so you have to be able to discern these things, or you will keep doors open to your household, to your finances, to relationships and all that, unless you know that this is not the devil. You can't fight against an enemy that you are not aware of.
That you can't see.
No, absolutely. So it's important that we understand that some things may look natural, but remember, he comes as an angel of light. I mean, it must have been so natural to Jesus to think, boy, you know, if I was the Son of God, I ought to be able to turn them stones into bread. You know, hey, you know, man, I am this, you know, boy. It was probably natural to think like that.
All the kingdoms will be mine.
He got a thought, so he could have said, oh, you know, it's just a lack of food, and could have went on, but he didn't. He discerned that it was the devil. And then let's go to 2 Samuel, Rob 19, 2 Samuel 19 and verse 5 through 7. And I'm doing this just in order to pull out just some of the things that discerning of spirits deals with and talks with.
It says, and Joab came into the house to the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, and that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants, for this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I will swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth unto now. And then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king of Israel and fled every man to his tent. Amen.
That reveals that even in sorrow, we can get overgrieved and allow spiritual activity from the devil to come in.
Absolutely.
These things that David was thinking, the way he was responding, his projection of value and so forth was wrong. They were located in David, but they were not expressing the comfort to other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to even be able to discern our own human spirit. Yeah. What is taking place
in
us?
What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. What? Why am I feeling like this? Mm. Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And I remember years ago, I used to be, I don't know, besides crazy, I used to just be depressed. I was a manic depressant. I called it I was a cyclist. In other words, every 30 days, I would go, Rob, for a week and a half, and never even talk to my family.
Yeah.
Now, I had a little girl, a beautiful little girl, and, you know, I had Phyllis, which is a beautiful woman. I don't mean that. You know, I had my daughter, and then I had Phyllis. No, I mean, I had a family, but I wouldn't talk to them. And then what I would see is that after that time of silence, I would start building. Mm. And I could feel it coming on.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus told disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. That doesn't mean that we don't fall in when it knocks on doors. It means that word, pray that you don't enter in, it says that you may recognize it afar off.
Yeah. See.
So that you can move out of its way, change the opportunity or change the advantage that thing has on
exactly.
you.
Yeah, change its trajectory.
There you go. If you can break that pattern, then you get a different outcome.
Yeah.
And so, but I would go and then ultimately, and I'm not proud of this, ultimately the end of that was that I would have a blowout, a meltdown every 30 days, every month, and I would end up beating my wife or something stupid.
Yeah.
And, but I started discerning the signs. I started discerning the seasons, the storms, the rain, the winds. And what I did, I started changing where those things thought I would be.
Yeah,
I started getting around people, talking to people.
Yeah.
I started, you know, going to work a different way.
Yeah.
You say, oh, that's crazy. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not.
I do something different.
Yeah, I just discern. And I begin to discern where this thing would come in at. Mm. And so when I started getting quiet, sometimes my wife will even tell me now, honey, you've been awful quiet for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I say, does that mean we got to talk? Yeah, we got to talk. So, and because she doesn't want to end up at a place that she has to, you know, she has conceal and carry. She doesn't want to end up at the place shooting me dead. And so she needs my income.
Yeah.
And but you can discern those seasons in your life.
Yeah.
And you can discern, is it you?
Mm.
Or you can discern, is this demonic?
Yeah.
Who else is it associated with? Just like when you get around people. You ever been around somebody that you walk away from and you think, man, what in the world is wrong with me?
Yeah.
We are discerning that there is something strange, unclean, that's not compatible with us, and that is a judgment that God is saying, don't be around that person.
Yeah, exactly.
It is an unveiling. Don't walk in these steps.
Yeah.
You're going to end up on the cliff.
Yeah.
If you want to be like him, continue this path. Stop.
Yeah.
You know, that discerning there does bring out to us that it's a judgment. It's the ground, this feeling and all these things are the ground where we judge and separate ourselves from things that are not God that are not healthy for our families and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phyllis will tell me, oh, you played golf with so-and-so today, did you?
Yeah.
I said, well, how do you know? She said, oh, just the way you're running off at the mouth. Just the way you smarted off to me, I know who you've been around.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, get out of here.
Yeah.
And she says, look, I like him and I like his wife. You cannot handle being around him because what you hear is what you repeat. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, you ever been in the Carolinas, you come back from, you know, your vacation. Hey, y'all, I'll tell you what, we went on down to the barrel. You have that accent. You pick it up.
Yeah.
And people think I'm from West Virginia. I'm not from West Virginia. I am born and raised in Ohio. I was born in Sydney, Ohio, raised around Bell Fountain and DeGraff area. And then I moved back to the Botkins area. And yes, I have an accent because my wife had it. I picked it up and she lost it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm not from Texas. I'm not from West Virginia. I am married to a woman that used to talk like a hillbilly. She lost it. I got it. I don't know what else to say.
It's funny, though. If you get around certain people, like I have certain guys I worked with or spent time with, next yes. thing you know, you catch yourself saying things that they say. And sounding, you're like, oh, I sounded just like
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, so 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter, and verse 5 through 7.
Yeah.
We just
read that.
Yeah. Read that. Yeah, I want to find out because I wanted to pick something out of there. 5 through 7.
Yeah.
And save a life. So David needs to discern where his emotions are coming from.
Yeah.
He needs to discern because they can be misread.
Yeah.
Now remember that we don't just live to ourselves, we are our brother's keepers.
Exactly.
Now these men do not need to be less loved than the enemies that they have just fought to win David's kingdom back.
Exactly.
David, if you didn't want Absalom dead, why did you send us to war?
Yeah.
If you didn't want him dead, then just give him the kingdom.
Yeah.
If you didn't want him dead, then just let him rule over us. But don't get downcast because we did what you sent us out to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's I think that we can do that even in our families.
Yeah.
Discern the attitudes, the spirit, or the spiritual influence, the spirit of our husband or our wife when they come in.
Yeah.
Not just attack them. Honey, hurry up and get the trash out. The car needs washed. The dog needs washed. Praise God. Mow the yard. Paint the house. And I'll have supper ready for you at 12:45 this morning. Come on. But what if your husband comes in or your wife comes in and you begin to operate in the gifts and you have a gift of discerning of spirits and you pick up a spirit of depression, a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of heaviness, or even a spirit of lust or anything like that,
whatever it could be.
Then you can deal with it. But if you don't, then what you're going to do is people around you are not going to see the true value that they have in your life. And thank God for this young man that he said, David, get a hold of yourself.
Exactly.
You are totally wrong. You're outside of the boundaries where you have brought these men. Now get back in there and be their king.
Yeah.
But if look, our husbands and our wives are out here in the world. They run into everything.
Yeah.
And you know, you can go to Walmart. Lord, gee, money. I don't know what kind of spirits are living in Walmart, but I mean, you know, some of these. My grandson showed me on YouTube. Here are the videos of people in Walmart.
Yeah.
And I said, do people really act like that and dress like? He said, Nothing against Walmart. Nothing against the people. You want to do that? You get to do that. You just end up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And but. When they come into our homes, you know, if you're walking a dusty road, Jesus said, let me wash your feet. Because if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have anything to do with me.
Exactly.
You know, we'd leave our sandals at the door. You know, we'd shake our garments and so forth. We'd brush off our clothes. We'd wash our hands and our face.
Yeah.
Those things take care of you know, natural things and all that kind of stuff. But they don't take care of the spirit.
Exactly.
And so even your kids coming from school, if you discern they aren't acting like they usually act, what's wrong with them? There may be a bully. I was in a church a while back, and I walked up to this young man. I said, bullying is terrible, isn't it? He said, yes, it is. And I said, and you're a bully.
Oh, wow.
But he hung his head and his mom. And I said, you've been bullying people, and you've been intimidated by the people that's causing you to be a bully, and you need to stop it right now. They're going to become consequences that you are not going to like.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm sure his mom was thinking, oh, yes, he's my little boy. He was a bully. And but God touched him, God, I'm believing God, he's not a bully.
Yeah, woke him up out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but we can discern that so that we can adjust our responses to them.
That's good.
And so if we start picking that up, even on our kids, you know, man, there are all kinds of, you know, you got 50 kids in, you got 100 adults that are influencing these kids, and who knows what they've been watching, what they've been doing, and what they've been going through. Yeah. You don't know. So, you know, those spirits can attach, or you can get used to being around somebody, a familiar spirit, or things of that nature. And so, you know, it can attach itself to you. And I think that the discerning of spirits helps us keep our houses clean.
Absolutely.
And it will help us avoid anger, fighting, frustrations. You know, we bear one another's burdens. If you know your husband's, you know, just been in a place of anxiety and stuff, what you don't want to do is put pressure on him when you come home.
Exactly.
That means you might be called to be loving. Instead of demanding, you know, it'd be like a twist of personalities.
Absolutely.
But that discerning of spirits will protect our houses, Rob, and create a peaceful, loving acceptance of those that have come in. And then what you do is you start praying over that. And later you just be set with them or something and say, you know, honey, I noticed you were like this when you come in. What went on today?
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, then you know what? Now you call, join yourself together, pray over that, and get it taken care of.
Amen. That's good.
So, okay, we're going to start next week, Rob. So, and we're going to continue this discerning of spirits, but we're going to find out how many human spirits, different kinds, are in the body of Christ. You know, Jacob, Israel believes that the 12 sons of Jacob reflect the 12 personalities of humanity.
Of humanity. Yeah.
And whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is their belief. And I do think that when we start looking at Proverbs and other scriptures, we're going to find that there are all types of different spirits that men carry.
Yeah.
And you don't want to deal with a wounded spirit, the same one that you would want to deal with a hasty spirit or a rebellious spirit.
Yeah.
And so they have to be dealt with differently. Yeah. And if we have the discerning of spirits, then we can get a word of wisdom.
There you go.
If you can discern somebody's season, Rob, then guess what? We can have a word in due season.
There you go.
And it can transform, and we can reseed that field with something that's going to bring forth life.
Yeah, amen.
And so it's important that we be able to discern seasons that people are going through, that, you know, maybe it's just a time period of hard time. Maybe it is the attack of the devil. But if we could discern that, then we can lend a helping hand.
Yeah.
We can speak a word of encouragement, of life, and of faith, edification, exhortation, and comfort. But if we don't, then we're really like in the dark.
Have you ever had a, someone come and give you a prophetic word without the discerning of spirits? And it's out of season. Like, if you would have gave me that 6 months ago,
I could have used that.
I've had that on several occasions where that's not the season I'm in. It doesn't resonate at all. But I've been in that season. You know, things like that. So
and
that's why this gift needs to be tied in with the
absolutely.
Others.
Yeah. And it does. You know, the gift of the prophet needs to have a strong. You see Paul discerning of spirits, and you see Peter in the apostolic discerning of spirits, and we'll be looking at those.
More of those.
But you know, they were able to recognize that. You know what? These are the children of the devil.
Yeah.
And they were even able to recognize that they were headed someplace because there hadn't been a, and where people said, well, then pray for me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that prayer worked and they didn't end up there. But it was because of this, the discerning of spirits.
Absolutely.
So we're going to discuss this again on Tuesday. So make sure that you joined us. Hey, we love you. Rob, why don't you pray for this gift to become active?
Father, we just thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. It's you've from the day of Pentecost, Lord, and from that time on, we have access to your Spirit. And so, Father, I pray that we take advantage. So right now, yes. I loose the gift, Lord, of discerning of spirits in your people, Lord, that we would become a discerning church, Lord. We would discern the things we're watching. We would discern the things we're hearing, and that we would protect that which you've entrusted to us, Lord. We would discern the spirit of this age, Lord, that we're living in, so that we can learn to navigate and so that we can find our way, Lord, in doing the right thing and at the right time and the right season, Lord. And being at the right place, Lord, because we've discerned your will, your ways, and your wisdom.
Yeah.
So I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, just release that gift, Lord, in your people, yes. and let your church become a discerning church in this age of confusion.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hey, we'll see you next Tuesday. God bless you.
Amen.